Thank you, Becky. Favorite song of mine. In fact, God used it in a way to bring me unto himself, being a farm boy. Often, without knowing Christ, did many a thing that certainly not proud of, but one of them, my folks, a huge hay barn, loose hay way back when, and when the barn was empty, that was a great place to climb, play Tarzan, whatever. And but lots of times you're just hanging on by your little fingernails to get up. But many a bird built their nests up inside the barn. And to think of that, God cares for those critters. His great care for us. It's a great lesson for me. Read that from Timothy this morning, though my message is not coming directly from here, but just a reminder to me and pressing on here with regard to it, that formerly in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13, certainly me, blasphemer, persecutor, insolent man, but I obtained mercy. Thinking on mercy this week and thought that is the message God had for me. As remember last week, we were in the Psalms in number what? 103, yep, 103. And out of it, thinking on the mercy of God, one of those things that often God has a pastor do, he prepares a sermon and he don't preach it. Now, Pastor Hull desires and wants and is working and thinking toward being back and preaching. That'd be what, the third Sunday and two more Sundays. Now, I would just say on that Sunday morning, make sure you have drank lots of coffee, had a little extra to eat. I know what, I've been out of the pulpit for a while, and, kind of got a big load to leave with you. Oh, just picking on him, because he's who I'm going to preach about this morning hour. When I was thinking about mercy, thinking about the frailness we are, that we are, as you know, Psalm 103 talks about, and this wonderful idea there in Psalm 103, message that God is with us. And it took me back into Genesis and chapter 28 and verse 15. Genesis 28:15. I was thinking on the ministry of the local church to the pastor and the ministry of the pastor through the local church. I've often said to men who were being ordained and men new in the pastorate, though many pastors do not agree with me, but that's all right. That's happened many times. I often have said a church really does train young men to be proper pastors. And you have to think about that in your ministry and work as a church, and then to see the fruit of it coming out of their lives. Not that Pastor Hole is a young man anymore. As pastors, we don't realize that too much. All at once, somehow, we say, hey, how did I get to this age? And it's because we love the ministry and the work God has called us to. And in Genesis 28:15, Jacob is traveling, one of God's servants, Jacob. He says in 28:15, behold, I am with you. Here's God talking to Jacob. Behold, I am with you. He says, I'll keep you wherever thou goest, or you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Jacob is traveling to a new land. And Maranatha Baptist Church in recent months has been on a traveling journey, as it were, to something brand new to them. That is for you having a pastor, and at this time he hasn't been able to pastor. The church has had a shepherd. who is not able to do that which you called him to do, and which God had set forth for him to do. But he's had a great desire to do that which you've called him to do. He wanted no slacking in his ministry and the work and the preaching of the gospel. Shepherds have a constant heart desire to be with the sheep and to set forth the words of the Lord and to have them follow, indeed, the good shepherd. As we heard Pastor Holt speak this morning and his testimony, and I spoke to him a little earlier than that, you just know in his heart he wants to be here. You know, this is where God called him to be, and he wants to be in the pulpit, and he wants to be in the office, and he wants to be in your homes, and he wants to be with regard to everything that has to do with you whom God has called to eternal life and with those who God is calling to eternal life, and the ministry. He can't let loose of it. That's a great place to be, a great pasture to have. First off, you have, or we have right here, God's presence. You see that in verse 15, God's present. God says, I am with you. I am with you. And we can come back to that as those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb in any situation that's come our way. We can look at that and know that God has said, I am with you. It's not just in this one place, but multitudes of time in the Scriptures we have that put before us. So to Pastor and Mrs. Hole, we would say this morning hour by way of the words of God, I am with you. No matter where you've been, what's been going on, what will go on yet, I am, not maybe, not perhaps, not when I feel like it, not when I'm off duty, I am with you. To Maranatha Baptist Church, we can take those same words this morning hour and realize God is saying to us, I am with you. Therefore, I am with you. No doubt. No questions about it. I am with you. Hebrews brings it out in the New Testament for us, one of many places, but happens to be a favorite verse of mine. Chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, and here's what we have recorded for us in God's Word, written down in for the eons of time in which we are living here today and have the delight to live in. Hebrews 13, 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. In case you were wondering what you might do this week, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. When you stop and think about it, it's not really talking about all the stuff we have. My wife and I had mentioned recently moved, and it's amazing what can be collected up in 47 years of marriage. And all the stuff is nice, but it's not what makes us content in life. Be content with such things as you have. What do you have? You have the Lord Jesus Christ. For he himself has said, what has he said? Repeatedly in the Scriptures, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You have that promise, church, with regard to the Lord and his work and his ministry, with regard to your pastor, with regard to all that's going on, with regard to his life and has. And God brings local churches into some testings and trials. First, to show them how much they do have in Christ. And then to show them how much and well they can stand up through the trial of it. As Peter talks about, the trial of your faith. Trials aren't to somehow put us down. Trials are to build us up in the things of Christ. So through this time, when God has laid aside the shepherd, he has, as through Pastor's testimony this morning, raised up a great flock. And thank you for that. I thank you this morning hour. Not only have God's presence, but we also have God's power, as you see in the verse, back in Genesis 28 and verse 15, God's power. I will keep you. I will keep you. Or I will keep you going. And the word keep could be guard. I'll guard you. We're told in the scriptures, keep the word, guard the word. Guard that which has been given to you. So God's power, I will keep you. Take me at my word. You can believe what I'm saying. So as the sheep, you making up the flock, faithfully love and serve the eternal Savior, the shepherd of our souls, you likewise love and serve your earthly shepherd whom God has given you. God has laid aside for a bit and thankful for restoration that's taking place. No one loves the local church like the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for it, purchased it, redeemed it, that he might make you to be that which is useful and glorious in his sight, redeemed for his name's sake, so that you might be a witness in the very area he has planted the church, planted you. Sometimes you might say to someone, why do you live on that road you live on? Because God planted you there. God needed a witness on that road, that street, in that town, in that burg, in that location. Why'd God give you the job he gave you? Because God wanted you there as a witness, a testimony of who he is. You might indeed be the only one God has you there. But remember, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you in that which you had. So I thank you today for sacrificial service. Thank you for your ministries. Thank you for those who sign up and make the coffee cake and the coffee and get there early and have it ready. More of you can do it. To me, it's a great ministry. In fact, I took it on for many years in the church God had us pastoring. I had an easy job at it because I just lived across the street. And, pretty easy to go over and plug in the coffee pot and see what people brought in. But they're great fellowship times. Get there early for church. And you could be like me, just take a half a cup of coffee. Just to be a part of things, to feel with regard to it. I know there are certain situations that don't work out for all. But it's just a reminder of the way in which the Lord uses us to keep on being an encouragement to one another and to showing the Lord is with me, keeping me through all this that is going on. Well, I direct your attention to Philippians, please. Chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I certainly had no idea that your pastor would be here this morning hour. Probably if I maybe had known chapter 2 and 25, I'd had it my way and not done it God's way and not used these verses. Now, this is where he took me to. Not unfamiliar. When the Lord says, I will keep you. Think of your pastor as you read these verses. Ponder them with him and church in mind. Think on the will and the way and the working of God. Verse 25 reads, Philippians 2. He says, I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, or if you'd allow me to take liberty in words today, and I'd say Pastor Hole, Mrs. Hole as well, my brother. That's a glorious thing, call somebody your brother. It means somebody who believes in the Word of God as I do. I mean, somebody who's redeemed. Somebody who is part of the spiritual family of God presently on the face of the earth. And you can take that my and use it along with each phrase he uses. My fellow worker. If I were still pastoring, I'd say to Pastor Hole, it's a joy to be in the pastorate with you. Be a old horse in the harness beside you. That's what I would say. Well, I guess I said it. My fellow worker, preacher of the gospel. And then he says, my fellow soldier. My fellow soldier. Which means a fellow warrior. There are many foes with regard to the things of the gospel and preachers. In particular, fundamental preachers. There's a great attack upon men and ministries that are true to the things of the Word of God. But we ought not to find it to be as if something we didn't know. Because the Bible surely tells us, perilous times, and difficult for those who just stand up and believe that which is godly and righteous. Many looking upon it as if that's some strange thing to believe in that kind of stuff. But a fellow warrior who does. And I'm sure has paid the price with regard to it as well. And look at the words here. Not only fellow soldier, but then he adds this. But your messenger. And the one who ministered to my needs. Messenger. A messenger is someone delegated by a local church to carry out an assignment. To speak and act for the church. Now he's the pastor of the church and carries on the work and ministry as set forth in the Bible by the church. My messenger. So Paul here says he's your messenger. That is, he had come to Paul, who was in jail, and ministered to him and met his needs, ministered to my needs. But here's what the pastor's heart was in verse 26. The pastor's heart was, that is Epaphroditus' heart, Pastor Hole's heart, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. That's where you folks have been. Sorry he's sick. He's down. Things were sounding merely poorly. Certainly not as well as we would like yet. But that was the place the church was feeling so down with regard to the fact of their pastor's great sickness. Yea, a sickness unto death, we read as we go a little further. In fact, let's do that. Then let me come back and make mention of a couple of things. Verse 27. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. And here's the phrase, but God had mercy on him. But God had mercy on him. But God had mercy on him. Not only on him, but on me also. Not only on him, but on the local church here, we could bring it in this morning also. Lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him, that is Paul sent Epaphras, I sent him the more eagerly that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Now, if I've looked things up right and got things in order, Pastor and Mrs. Hole will be celebrating 25 years of being here next month. Yeah, 25 years. That's no short term. There aren't many churches you can look at that have all this extra long time in the ministry. Thank you for it. That's a testimony to God, to your church, that God has sent you to be the shepherd. 25 years he has. I wonder how many times in those 25 years he has come to you face to face to help you meet a need in your life. So that you could say, because of the pastor, I'm encouraged again. I can press on. I can stick with the stuff. And even all the more so now, as you see your pastor going through what God has brought into his life and his wife's life by this sickness that indeed has been unto death. How God has used him as a testimony of his confidence, their confidence in the Lord at this time that has come before him. I like that phrase, and I believe you do as well in verse 27. But God had mercy on him. Amen? I'll do it again. But God had mercy on him. Amen. There we go. Yeah. Make the scriptures personal. Apply them right to life. Because that's where they're at. This was everyday life stuff that was going on then. And it is for you right now. You're a living illustration of the scriptures of what has happened in the past and is again taking place now. Isn't it great to be a part of history? To say, see what God did. God's mercy. He had mercy upon you. He's had mercy upon them. Glorious, glorious things to think upon and bring before us. I've been unpacking my library. Second time I've unpacked it. So that means the second time I packed it. The first time I gave away about 4,000 or 5,000 volumes. But I still kept too many. And books are heavy to move. And I'm not one of those smart guys who many, many, many years ago when I was at Baptist Bible College, as it was called, or seminary even then, and they had this huge library, very big, and I worked for the school when it was moving from one location, Johnson City, New York, to Clark Summit. I helped pack some of those library books. And the one who was in charge of having them packed said, now on every box you put the volume down that you start with, the number, library number, and the last number in it so they're in order. So when we unpack them, we can take them out and have them all ready to go in order on the shelves. And that worked quite well. Lots of boxes there. But when I pack my library, I just pack what fits best in the box. So when it's time to unsort it and put it on the shelves, it's a nightmare. But what happens to me is I go through all those books and I say, "Well, look at that. Forgot I had that book. Or I haven't read that one. Or I read a little bit in that one. Oh, I'm going to put that one aside. I wanted to read that one." Pretty soon you got a stack this tall of gonna reads, and you say, "Oh, well, might as well put them on the shelf. Maybe someday read them." Well, one of the sets of books that I have, because of the graciousness of others, is called the New Testament Commentary. And William Hendrickson wrote the book of the Commentary of Philippians in this set. And on page 142, I copied it. I wanted to see what he had to say here. Read it to you. It says, Epaphroditus had been graciously restored to health. This surely is implied in the words that follow, "But God had mercy on him." God's compassion. God's pity. "He had mercy on him," and continues Paul, "not only him, but also that I might not have sorrow upon sorrow." God pitied both Epaphroditus and Paul. He comforted to know the heart of God is filled with mercy, that is, loving kindness. Often in the Old Testament, the word loving kindness refers either to grace or to mercy. But here's a little poem that he wrote. Here's what I wanted to get to. And the reason it fits so well is it comes out of Psalm 103. I'm taking it that the writer here wrote it, because he gives no other reference with regard to what it was. But if you keep Psalm 103 in mind, think of some of the things we mentioned, read last week. Here's the poem. "Mindful of your human frailty is the God in whom we trust. He whose years are everlasting, he remembers we are dust. Changeless is Jehovah's mercy unto those who fear his name. From eternity abiding to eternity the same." Yeah. "I will keep you. I will keep you." Mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Great study to study the word mercy in the scriptures, and it's not our task this day. But you have a glorious ministry to study mercy. We have before us also in our verse here that we're talking about from chapter 28 and verse 15 of out of Genesis, and Jacob on this journey, and as God spoke to him, and God's promise is what we have next. God's promise. What's the promise in the verse, folks? What's God's promise in the verse next? "I will bring you back. I will bring you back. I will bring you back." Back to the pulpit, back to shepherding, back to the ministry I have called you to. God will have his perfect way in perfect timing with every single one of us. What a delight to rest in the Lord. To rest in him. Have our confidence in him. I take you to John 17, and we'll begin to wrap it up here. Back to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John in chapter 17. Indeed, the genuine Lord's Prayer. It's in the Bible. Chapter 17. I want to just remind a couple of things here, bring it to our minds. In John 17, in verse 1 through 4, I'm actually going to read. John 17, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give life eternal or eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. Been wondering today, what's eternal life? Been wondering if you have eternal life? Do you? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Do you know him? The Lord Jesus, eternal God. I encourage you today to consider him, whom to know is life eternal, and to consider him who, with the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despising and the shame and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Consider him. Eternal life is a person. And he says in verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I believe with any fundamental Baptist preacher, the desire of their heart is to glorify God. Be it by preaching, be it by the ministries out to the homes, and be it in a business meeting, be it in the home, be it in sickness, it would glorify God. That is that means that the light, the shining light, will be upon Jesus, upon God. Remember that great statement in Luke of the angels from heaven? Glory to God in the highest. That is what? Put the light upon God. Glory to God in the highest. Glory is to put the light upon God. The Lord Jesus Christ, his daily desire, and a goal in life. And just to remind us while we're in the chapter, not far from the verse 24, if you're a believer in Christ, verse 24 is all about you. All about each and every one here. It's a prayer that Jesus prayed and a prayer that will be answered one day. When you take your last breath here and you take your first one in glory. Remember how he prayed? Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Where is he? It's in eternity in glory, in heaven. They be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Well, we mentioned just a few things out of a very short verse that has a great deal of, we'll say, theology or words to live by for us. And speaks with regard to Jacob traveling to a new land. And God's presence is with him. God said, I will be with you. And then we have with regard to it God's power. I will keep you. I will guard you. Yes, whatever comes into your life. And we know of all the different things that come into our lives. My. But he says, I will guard you. And then we have this reminder as well of God's promise. I will bring you back. God is going to see to it that you get the glory, and it will be because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, you know, have you believed on the Lord Jesus? He has prayed, I want them to be with me where I am. There's a promise that will take place for those who have believed on Christ. And then this concluding section of Scripture this morning, back to the book of Hebrews, if you would, please. And we will finish it up here in chapter 13, down at verse 20. Hebrews 13, 20, where he says, I will not leave you. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful is our Lord. I don't want to do a Lawrence Welk's, but wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. That's what we have here in Hebrews chapter 13. Are you with me at verse 20? Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all of God's people said, amen. We'll pray, our Father, apply your words of the Scriptures to our hearts as you see fit, as you know is needed. And we do thank you for showing mercy upon this church, upon this pastor and his wife. And thank you for allowing me and my wife to be here and be a part of a glorious time of the working of your word. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.